This is the Music Mentor Podcast.
What is going on, my friends? This is Demian, your host of the Music Mentor Podcast, and welcome to episode number 218. This week's episode is going to be about sort of a process that I've been taken upon, which has been revisiting old material that I had written many years ago and many months ago, and sort of what I've learned through that discovery and sort of the things that that process has revealed that I wish I would have done differently along the way. But before I get started, as always, I want to give not only a shout out to the companies that I endorse that I know are having a really difficult time during the coronavirus, but obviously to wish you all a positive, productive if you want, reflective if you want it, lazy if you want it. Whatever week you decide to have, I encourage you to feel your feelings and to live whatever it is you're going through in the most optimistic and positive way. And if you want to be productive, which I encourage you to do, please do so. And if you don't, you don't. But again, quick shout out to the companies that I know are having a difficult time, but I love them and I support them nonetheless, the same way that they support me when times are hard on my end. But Zildjian Cymbals, Vader Drumsticks, LP, Percussion, Remo Drumheads, Gibraltar Hardware, Simpad Accessories, Yuka Tape, U-Bass by Calibrand, which I've been playing a lot recently, Nirvana Hand Pants, especially their Acolyte model, which I've been obsessed with as of late, and I've been writing a lot of music with it, in it, on it, through it, because of it. And last but not least, my dear friends from Ultimate Ears, in-ear monitors. And if you are looking to step up your in-ear game, and if you are thinking about purchasing something with this when this whole coronavirus thing is over, and you want to make a little musical investment for yourself, I can think of a few things more important than your listening and your monitoring experience, and you can go wrong with Ultimate Ears. So if you email my friend Joe Lester at ultimateaudiojoe@gmail.com, who, of course, works for Ultimate Ears and is a technician here in LA, you will get a 20% discount across the board if you send them the code DA20 with your email. So check it out. See what they have to offer online. See their Bluetooth speakers. Check out their earplugs and, of course, all their in-ear monitors. And you can try them all in and demo them all here in LA. So check it out and go to the Third Encore office if you are in the area when social distancing guidelines and rules have sort of eased up, which God knows how long that will be. So in the process of writing music as of late, and mind you, they've all been handpan oriented, and I'm pretty sure the next episode is going to be about sort of that episode and what it feels like to have made an EP. Because for all intents and purposes, like I've mentioned in other podcasts, it's like, okay, I'm a songwriter now, I guess, you know. So for a long time, I had recorded music on instruments such as guitar and bass and a little bit of keyboard here and there. And of course, I had laid down some drums and stuff like that. And I've never had melodies. I wasn't somebody and still don't feel incredibly confident when it comes to writing melodies for a whole plethora of reasons. More than anything, because I don't feel like I have any sort of excelling ability in a melodic instrument. And not to say that I feel that way with a handpan, but definitely has been an instrument that has bridged that gap. And I've been sort of more confident through rhythm and through the nature of the instrument itself. I've been able to express some ideas rhythmically that are, by the nature of the instrument, also melodic, and it has allowed me to think and create in a very specific, organic way, so to speak. But these other songs have been very much influenced by, you know, just sort of guitar, folky-ish, you know, indie-ish, I don't even know how you call it, type of music. A lot of sort of influenced by bands like Hours and Chroma Key and some Jeff Buckley type of influences and stuff like that, and just trying to channel certain things that aren't necessarily in my artistic palette. It's one of those things where I sort of put a hat on and try to pretend like, oh, I want to write this kind of song and I want to try to this kind of emotion. And I've been able to sort of do it in an okay way. And I had sort of lost track of some of these songs because I had gotten a new computer and I just been going through some old hard drives, or one old hard drive. It's not like I have hundreds of thousands of songs. And it's been very interesting rediscovering some songs and trying to sort of take a step forward in my artistic development. And I'm sure that a lot of you feel the same way. And I found that taking some steps back have actually been very meaningful, because I've started to notice, and I'm not saying that this is for everybody, but I've started to notice certain songs that live together and belong together. And because I feel like I've gotten much better in my songwriting and production skills and so on and so forth, I now feel much more confident to tie them together and make sense of songs or sections of songs, and maybe, you know, plugging gaps here and there. And that's something that always fascinated me with working with somebody like Richie Kotzen and his songwriting process. And when you hear interviews of him, how he had all these old ideas. And recently I was watching a phenomenal YouTube video about Steve Vai, and Steve Vai explaining how he wrote For the Love of God, which, for if you don't know anything by Steve Vai, I encourage you to check out the entire Passion and Warfare album if you're only going to listen to one. And the song For the Love of God is probably my favorite instrumental song of all time. And the way he wrote it, how he approached it, it was very interesting, because he reveals how he basically played this chord in an old acoustic guitar that he found on his way out from a studio, and sang the melody, the lead melody of the song and the main motif. And it kind of sat there on a shelf. He recorded it for a long time recorded it and forgot about it for the longest time, until it was time to record Passion and Warfare. And he finally literally pulled it out of the shelf and then revisited it and ended up creating one of the most iconic songs of his set and of his discography, and a song that he basically, as he says, plays basically every concert. So I found that fascinating. And this kind of brings me to the other part where I said how I sort of, things that I wish I would have done differently. And I think going forward, I wish I would have cataloged these songs a little bit better by making more notes about it, maybe writing some stuff down as far as the emotion behind it. Because sometimes, you know, I feel very clever with these names that remind me of something, or definitely like remind me of a song of the artist that I was sort of emulating at the time. But I'm lacking all this other context, and I don't remember things specifically. So that is kind of frustrating. And the other thing that I found, or that I wish I would have done differently, is documented this in a, not only in a recording way, but I wish I would have written down the chords and the voicings. And I wish I would have taken more pictures and more video of what I was doing, because, you know, there's a couple of songs that I love what I did, and I know it's in a weird tuning, and it alone, it's taken me a while to do it. I know I have friends that can help me figure it out in a much quicker way, but I also embrace the challenge and I want to do these on my own. So I wish I would have done that better. So for you out there, if you're looking, or if you're at a position where you're writing a bunch of songs and you write a bunch of ideas and you have a lot of them, or maybe you only have a few of them, I think this applies to everybody. I would encourage you to try to catalog them and try to, you know, immortalize them and write them down if you know how to write music notation or tabs, or take pictures of it, or even send a voice memo and tell yourself, I'm playing this chord shape or this fret, or it's a minor this or major that, or whatever you want to think about. I think it's really, really important, and I wish I would have done it better, because now I would look back and I could see certain patterns, songs in certain keys or certain chords I would like to borrow from, and so on and so forth. So it's really, for me, it's been a very interesting experience. And I know I'm sort of a newbie in this world, but I also encourage you, if you are a songwriter and you haven't written in a long time and you have all this old material that for whatever reason you haven't revisited and you haven't done, or you have an album that you've worked on forever and you just haven't had the time or the energy or the drive or whatever to put it out, maybe revisit those songs. Maybe it's cool to for you to, you know, try to remember who you were at the time and what emotions you had, or maybe some songs were difficult because you were going through a breakup and now you're over that person, or those songs were very helpful for you in a very positive time in your life and now you're not going through the best of times. Well, maybe that song is going to get you in a different state of mind, in a place for you to, you know, just sort of shift your thoughts and maybe motivate you to play another instrument. Or maybe you haven't played guitar in a long time and you're a piano player and you wrote a song on guitar. You're trying to figure this or that out. And it's next thing you know, you're revisiting songs, but you're also sort of getting lost in the composition aspect of it that I encourage everybody, especially drummers and percussionists that don't do a lot of that. I think it's very important to tap into that creative world and the harmonic and melodic world. It can only bring positive things to your life. Thank you so much for listening. This was the Music Mentor Podcast.